afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a beautiful day out there, Thursday, May the 19th, almost Memorial Day, 11 days away, 1:13 coming up on 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we thank Pat Carroll for being on in our number one legendary actress, Pat Carroll. Now, this hour is going to be a lot of fun, always is, when we visit once a month with one of my favorite people, the 40th Treasurer of the United States under President Bill Clinton, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott.
You know, since we talked late April, certainly a lot of things have happened.
Oh, my. Yes, I have.
Do you like political years like this?
Oh, I do, yeah. I can't take my ears off of it.
Is it, as they all say, is it really that different this year than it ever has been before?
Yes, it's really different.
If you had to explain it to somebody, why is it different? What is happening?
Oh, I think a lot of people are upset. I really think the fact that Congress wouldn't work with the president is probably the main issue there. And I don't know that they're blaming the right people for that.
President Barack Obama will be done in 7 months now. What do you think his presidency, we'll get 10 years away from it, how do you think people are going to look back at it?
Oh, I think they'll look at it very favorably. He took over in a very difficult time, and he has the economy not doing extremely well, but it's making its way back, and it's slow, but actually our country's doing better than other countries, so that's a good factor there.
You worked under President Bill Clinton, and when he was in office, there was a lot of talk of they were out to get him. The Republicans were out to get him and wouldn't let him get a lot done. Do you think it's been worse during President Obama's administration?
Yeah, I always said they didn't give Bill Clinton a minute's peace, and the same with President Obama. And if you want to go back further, you can go back further, and it's always very difficult for a Democratic president.
It's fascinating because when we look at the history of the late 20th century and into now, if we're talking about Democratic presidents, because we did have 12 years of Republican with Reagan and Bush, so before Obama we have Clinton, and then before Clinton we have Carter, who a lot of people don't even really feel was much of a Democrat, but before that we've got LBJ. LBJ started Head Start. Passed the Voting Rights Act, did a beautification with Lady Bird Johnson of state parks, did a lot of good things, a lot of it overshadowed by Vietnam.
A lot of it civil rights, too.
Civil rights, absolutely. Yeah. And the school lunch program, I believe, was, and Medicare and Medicaid, I think, were under him. Why was he the last Democratic president who was able, people talk about getting the LBJ treatment, that he would call and threaten and lean on. Why was he the last Democratic president who did not let the other side treat him so harshly?
Well, he was really powerful in the House. He, you know, the fact that he ran it with an iron glove, I think, had a lot to do with when he became president. And he still had that power where the other people haven't come from that background so much. I mean, I think that made him have the ability to do a lot more than some of the others could do.
When we just talked about what LBJ did, certainly I think Obama will be remembered for Osama bin Laden's capture, Obamacare, and letting, on his watch, irregardless of how they put it, same-sex marriage was made legal. That went down on his watch. What would you put out there as Bill Clinton's memory?
Well, the economy was perfect. I would say perfect, because we had all these jobs were created, and that's the answer to your economy right there. And I think people have forgotten how good the economy was when Bill Clinton was in office.
Interestingly enough, just a few days ago, I believe it was Tuesday, Secretary Hillary Clinton said in a press conference for the first time that she would put Bill Clinton, her husband, in charge of the economy if she gets in. And I was kind of shocked because even some liberal outlets, the conservatives, of course, were going to take that to task, but even some of the liberal outlets took her to task for that, that she would be leaning on him. What did you make of the reaction to that?
Well, I thought it was unnecessary because why can't she say what she's going to have him do? They keep asking her, and she answered it, accept it, you know.
Why do you think that was such a problem? I mean, is it just because he's her husband?
Yeah. It's because anything that she suggests, they want to be on the opposite side. That's the way it is.
You worked under the Clinton administration. We've talked about this almost weekly here. Anytime Donald Trump does something, and he's the guy now on the Republican side this year, anytime he does something, people will go out of their way to defend it, no matter what it is. But there is I understand Donald Trump's unpopular ratings because of things he's done. But Hillary's unpopular ratings are almost as high. Why is that?
And I don't understand that. I don't understand why her ratings are so high, too, because I just don't feel that she should be rated unpopular.
What do you think is the misconception that has led to that?
I think the media had a lot to do with it.
Is she, by her own account, I believe she even said it at one point, do you believe she is just not a good campaigner?
Well, she's not as good as her husband. I would say that. But I think she's done a very good job campaigning. They are very critical of her. I don't know why. I think they should not be saying all the things that they're saying. But I can't say that I really like that last TV ad she's come out with where she's doing what Trump said. She's having women, quote, I don't like that commercial.
What bugs you about that commercial?
Well, it's just not, it doesn't make me think of her. I just think it's such a disgusting commercial.
If she does defeat Bernie Sanders, and it looks like it's going that way, she will be the first woman to run for president in the main election.
Right.
Is that part of it to any degree?
I think it is. I think that men have a problem voting for her.
Do you think in the end that could spell demise for her?
Well, I think she'll win.
Most polls show that right now.
Well, not necessarily. The ones I saw this morning, she's losing ground in her polls. And it's, I think it's because she's got Bernie hitting on her and Trump hitting on her, and you've got two on one, and it really isn't very fair.
You know this better than anybody would. When you look at that electoral map, even in the last election, Romney and Obama were close popularity vote-wise. There was not a big gap there. But because we are an electoral college system, Obama won a pretty striking win in the Electoral College. Still today, Donald Trump as a Republican would have to win two out of the big three swing states, Florida, Ohio, Wisconsin, and some now are even calling Pennsylvania into that. He has to win them. Hillary doesn't, because Democrats most likely will pick up New York, California, and states highly populated on the East Coast. Is he capable of doing that?
Is he capable of picking up...
Picking up those swing states.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you can really judge how he's going to... how effective he's going to be until it's just the two of them running. I think then you can make your judgments better.
Does it mean anything that yesterday he met with Henry Kissinger, that he's hired people now who are, he's actually hiring a campaign staff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he has to. He can't do this all on his own. It would be impossible.
We sat here when he announced his nomination last July, and to the country, it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Not a joke now.
No, it isn't.
What happened?
Nobody took him seriously, and here he is. The Republican Party is at fault on that. They should have controlled their operation better, and they always had in the past, and somehow this time they couldn't get a handle on it.
Whether you like or dislike the Republicans, they had so many candidates, 16 other candidates, and in their party, qualified, popular people.
Mm-hmm.
Why could none of them get a run at him? None of them.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Even the Bush family had
right.
no traction
yeah.
at all, even with all the money. And that what is this the campaign that puts an end to big money politics where you have to buy millions of dollars of television ads because it didn't work?
Well, I don't think it's putting an end to the big money because I think the money, big money, is still going to be out there before it's over.
Does it surprise you that when he got the nomination 2 weeks ago, that both former President Bushes said they will not attend the convention, mm-hmm. will not support him?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, has yet to endorse him.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, the last presidential candidate, says he will not attend the convention, will not endorse him, and will not vote for him. Bob Dole, who ran for president in 96 against Clinton, says he will go to the convention, but he will not endorse him. Every big leader in the Republican Party and mm-hmm. presidential candidate of the last 35 years will not support him, but yet he goes on.
Right. Well, he said he's brought a lot of people into the party, which is probably true. If those people still stand behind him and vote for him in the general, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how all of this goes down because, as I said, until you get just two people in the race, you're not going to know how all of this is going to work.
Here is the bizarre dream aspect of this to me. Not that everybody shares the same values and ideas, but the truth of the matter is, and you've said obviously you're supporting Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to the final election, Mary Ellen Withrow, the Bush family, Bob Dole, Paul Ryan, and Mitt Romney are all on the same page. I don't know that they'll vote for Hillary.
Well, I was going to say,
yeah.
I don't know if they're voting for her, but to say they're not voting for him is quite a statement. And I can understand why they're not. I think it's after what they've all been through.
Did this turn to an election of morals? Instead of issues.
I think that has a lot to do with it. Yes. But another thing, Scott. The other day when Megyn Kelly interviewed Trump, and it was she gave him this nice interview after all that he said about her. I wouldn't have gone near the man after what he said about her.
You know, Megyn Kelly, from what I'd seen of her, and I admit I haven't seen a whole lot of her stuff, but she seemed to be on the level. But that interview, I don't think Republican, Democrat, kumquat, whatever you are, that was a softball interview.
You aren't kidding. And besides that, why would she do that after everything? I thought it was ridiculous.
Well, and it was my understanding that Fox News and Donald Trump were not on the best of terms.
That's right. I didn't think they were either.
So I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah.
It was a bizarre interview.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any assumptions as to why she did it?
I don't know whether she was trying to correct what had happened before. That's the only thing. But you can't do that. Stay strong. I mean, she was strong before. Now she's weak. You don't want to look weak.
Do you think that journalists are giving him a pass?
Oh, absolutely. I think the more votes he gets, the more of a pass they give him.
Do you think it's hard for them, though, to pin him down? Because he is the first presidential candidate I've ever seen. That when you ask him something and he evades it, his supporters like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The media, I think, is kind of in a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. They can't hold his feet to the fire because mm-hmm. his people, they don't care. Why are his people so blindly following him?
I think they think he's going to correct everything because they think he's strong, and he comes across as being strong. But the things he's talking about correcting are terribly difficult, and I don't know that, you know, if he doesn't have the support of the House and the Senate, even though they're Republican, he may not have their support. So how much is he going to be able to do and to take care of all these things he says he's going to?
Nobody's been able to press him on that, and he's starting, as you say, Bernie is firing at Hillary, Trump is firing at Hillary, and a matter of fact, I was just reading, I think it's yesterday, he did a speech, and he's been all over Bill this week.
Oh, yeah, it's been bad. Yeah.
Do you think his transgressions in life should reflect on her?
Well, she didn't let it bother her, so why should it bother anybody else? It was her problem more than anybody else's. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Unfortunately, no matter what happens, he was quoted yesterday as even using the word rape in the same sentence with Bill Clinton. Is that going to hurt her in the long run?
Well, it's probably not going to do any good. The more he wraps it up, you know, he's going to keep getting worse and worse, I presume. And it's just not going to be a good thing.
Very clearly, Bernie Sanders cannot get to the number. She's within 90 votes, with the superdelegates, of clinching the Democratic nomination. Why is he still in there?
I think he's looking for a bargain in the end. He wants to, you know, change some of the rules, and he wants to have his say, and he probably wants to speak at the convention, and maybe he wants to be in the cabinet, although I think he said he doesn't want to be. Have you heard him say that?
I've heard him say that.
Yeah.
As we get closer, though, to the election, to the convention, to all of that, things are heating up, mm-hmm. and we certainly saw that in Nevada. And Bernie Sanders did on his website, if you hadn't heard, you know, I assume most out there have, but in a tin-type fashion, they were dispersing the delegates in Nevada, and some of Sanders' supporters got a little angry because of how the system worked, and calls were placed to high officials in Nevada threatening kids, and it was really not right. But and Bernie did go on his website and say he disavowed what they had done, but it's starting to look like a division there for the first time in the Democratic Party. Does that worry you?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. How do you fix it?
You get him out if you can. Yeah. He should. He's causing quite a bit of difficulty, and you know, if you can't get him to get out, you're going to have to try to still work with him, and she has been. She's been trying to work with him.
Do you think they like each other? I thought
probably not, because I'll tell you, when you run against somebody and they're running against each other, you don't like the other person. I don't care what.
Why does this senator from Vermont in his 70s have mm-hmm. such appeal?
Well, he feels the power. That's what it is. I mean, you know, once they feel that power of being able to get votes and sway people's thinking, there's, you know, that's where it's at.
Is it possible when we get to the main that this can all be forgotten? Because I assume Bernie Sanders does not want Donald Trump to be president.
That's what he said.
Do you see him being a big supporter of Hillary after the convention?
Well, he probably should be, and I don't know what will happen there. We'll have to wait and see for that.
Is it important that he be?
Yes, it is.
How much of an asset do you think President Obama will be to Hillary?
I think he'll be a big asset when he... After he won't get into it until after the primary, but he'll be a big help.
With the Republicans, the Republican establishment having such a problem backing Trump, when we get to the main, the only one that I see who is likely to come around is probably Paul Ryan. Probably he's going to endorse
him. He'll almost have to.
He'll have to at some point.
Right.
That being said, so you have Paul Ryan over here and Donald Trump and his supporters. You are going to have Hillary, and obviously you're going to have Bill. I'm guessing 70% Bernie Sanders, and you're definitely going to have the Obamas. You're going to have Vice President Biden. You might even have Al Gore. I don't know if that relationship's patched up, but do you think that's patched up between the Clintons
and
him?
I have no idea.
Would it be good to have him out there?
I don't think it hurt anything. He's been so out of the limelight, though, that I think people have probably forgotten about him. He's mentioned once in a while, but I doubt if very many people remember him.
I'll tell you what I find interesting about this coming election is that we had the Reagan years, and Bush was a vice president. Then we had the first Bush years, so you have a Bush in there. Then you had the Clinton years, and then... We had eight more Bush years, and then we've had this eight-year chasm where it's been Obama and Romney and McCain, people like that. But here we are again with a Clinton in the race, and that's only why I ask a question like, will Al Gore show back up? Because he was part of that group during that time.
Right, he was part of it, but he's totally out of politics where the rest of them aren't. I mean, you know, Romney got himself back in because he was so upset about Trump. And the rest of them still keep themselves in it. Al Gore hasn't.
Well, the other day, one of the other things that triggered this, I saw Dan Quayle endorse Donald Trump on television.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
And I hadn't seen Dan Quayle in forever.
No.
But he threw himself back in there. And I think, obviously, against what the Bushes would have wanted him to do.
Well, yes. Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out.
Well, you never know what... Maybe he wants to be in the administration, you know. That's probably what's behind it.
When I saw him, I thought, what did happen to Dan Quayle? Usually, vice presidents do make a run at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Never did.
No, the potato took care of him.
He was taken down by the vegetable. He did. He did have, and Murphy Brown, if people remember that at the time.
It's
going to be very interesting. What do you think... Is Hillary Clinton's biggest hurdle to jump to put this in the bag, this election?
Oh, that's a... You don't know what's going to be coming up. I mean, you don't know what they're going to throw at her next, so I can't answer that.
Knowing Donald Trump's tenor is probably going to be nasty. I mean, he's already talking rape in a former president.
Yeah, it's terrible, yeah.
Can she overcome that in a debate? Can she handle it?
Oh, she can handle her debate. I'm never worried about that. I'm sure she can handle him in any debate that they have.
If he throws something out like that, or calls her Crooked Hillary, like he did the other people, can she hold her temper?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's very controlled. Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating. Mm-hmm. Do you think the election could be won or lost in the debates?
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be because I think, you know, trying to get him to talk about foreign relations and things that he refuses to really say much about, all of this is probably going to be brought out in the debates.
And again, this is Donald Trump, the weirdness of the election. He will not release his tax returns and kind of basically said the other day that if they're not out of audit by November, I might not release them at all.
Yeah.
But nobody cared. They just keep on going.
I know, he can get by with it where nobody else can.
What did you make of him pretending to be his own press secretary and then denying it?
I know. It was very obvious that was his voice.
And he denies it.
Yeah, I know.
And people defend it.
Yeah, I know.
It's very strange. I do want to play something for you because I want to get your read on something. So I want you to just slip the headset up there to hear so you can hear this. We had Senator Sherrod Brown on this show on March the 15th of this year. That was primary day in Ohio. And I asked him about being Hillary Clinton's vice president. Now, remember, this is from March 15th because I have something else to play. But this is Senator Sherrod Brown, Ohio, on this program, March 15th of this year. Very interesting. Before I let you go, Senator Brown, and I thank you for your time, The Hill reported today that a possible Clinton-Brown ticket could be, and NBC's Chuck Todd has suggested this, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow has floated around the idea. So I guess, Senator Brown, if asked, will you serve?
I have no interest. I really don't. I love what I'm doing here. I'm very flattered by that. I appreciate anybody thinking that. But I really don't want to be vice president. I want to continue to fight for middle class in Marion and Mansfield and all over the state.
So no chance, as you
have? No interest.
No chance at all. Okay. Hey, well, that's Sherman. Thank you, Senator Sherrod Brown. We thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Now, remember, that's March 15th of this year. Now, did that sound... What was your read on that, Mary Ellen? Now, remember, that's back in March.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounded like he's not interested,
Now, he was on the program Friday, mm-hmm. May the 13th, mm-hmm. and I asked him again. This is from last Friday, May the 13th, Sherrod Brown on this program. Senator Brown, the last time you were on with us was primary day, March 15th of this year, and I asked you at that time if you would be Hillary Clinton's running mate because you were on a list that's been circulated through the media. We recently saw you back in, well, earlier this month when she got in a little bit of trouble with the coal miners out there with her. If called, has your mind changed? Would you be her vice presidential?
One, she hasn't asked, and I have no idea if she will. We don't really know what a short list means. I'm, of course, honored that many people think that I'm on that list, but I love this job. I want to continue to fight for towns like Marion and Mansfield, where I grew up. I want to continue to work on job growth and fight for Medicaid and fight against some of the things the tobacco companies are doing, trying to target our kids. I don't aspire to another job. This is what I love doing. I assume she won't ask. I'm very happy to stay in the U.S. Senate.
But if she does, is
well,
the door
I don't
open?
Know if she does. I don't know. Somebody once said, a senator from Vermont once said that he looked around the Senate and he said, the only cure for embalming fluid, I'm sorry, the only, I didn't say that right, the only cure for the presidential virus in the United States Senate is embalming fluid. I'm not one of these guys that looks in the mirror and thinks I should be president of the United States. It's not my interest. It's not my goal. I'm privileged to do this job. I don't think she's going to ask. So I guess that's the way I'd answer.
But you haven't ruled it out.
Well, I don't think you can rule anything when if a presidential candidate asks you to do that. You've got to consider it because it's duty. But I don't want her to. I don't think she will. I'm very. Happy with where I am. That's the best I can answer. Sorry about that.
I appreciate it. And that was from last Friday. Little different.
There we go. I'll tell you, if somebody asked you to be their running mate, it'd be awfully hard to say no.
And from what I ascertained from that, basically he was saying if she asked at this point, I think he would say yes.
Yeah, I think he would too, but he's not going to say that.
Why do you think between March 15th, because March 15th was pretty well a Sherman when I asked him, mm-hmm. wouldn't do it, don't want to do it.
Yeah, right.
May 13th, well, I can't.
Yeah, it's getting closer.
Well, it seems to me now, she might not have asked him, but I think somebody has certainly...
Oh, there's been a lot of people talk to him about it, I'm sure.
Would he be good for her?
Well, he's Ohio, and she needs Ohio. There's a lot of discussion about who she's going to pick. And I can't remember who it was, suggested that she pick a Republican. And I thought, that might not be a bad idea because of what's going on with Trump. It would have to be a Republican that's very moderate, you know, but it would maybe pull some of the votes that should be going to Trump over to the Democratic Party.
There are two states that tend 90% of the time to go Republican, Arizona and Texas. But Texas and Arizona have a high Latino population, and the Bushes are from Texas, and so is Ted Cruz, who have no love loss for Donald Trump. Yeah. Will Texas and Arizona be on the table?
That's interesting. Well, I think she is going to get a lot of Latino vote and African-American vote and women vote. So that could make a big difference there.
If she was able to swing Texas and keep Florida, which has a high Latino population,
yeah, it does.
Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Wisconsin, he could win them all, and it still would not mm-hmm. win him the presidency.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Do you think there might be some campaigning in Texas this time, when there usually is not a whole lot, by the Democratic nominee?
Yes, I know they usually bypass Texas. Well, it's a different ballgame this time. I think they would be doing study of it and decide and make a decision, you know, whether to get involved in Texas or not. Arizona, I think they'd study all of the states and see how things are going, because they couldn't go by the past. You wouldn't know by the past what's going to happen this time, because it's so different.
Before we go, we only have 14 minutes left, so before we go on to something else other than this particular race, because she looks like the presumptive nominee, because Trump is the presumptive nominee, is it possible that there could be a President Trump?
Well, yes, it's possible, yes.
Because most people still, if you talk to them, all the polls that are done, they still show him at like 190 electoral votes. Popular votes high. But could it change that much between now and then that he could do this? That there could be, for the first time since Dwight Eisenhower, a man who has never run for political office?
Well, anything's possible, Scott. You know that.
Is he, and this is kind of a bizarre question, but you take everybody seriously, of course. Why wouldn't you in an election? But is he taken as seriously, as big a threat? Well, I guess let me put it this way. Less of a threat, as big or more, than, let's say, Mitt Romney was 4 years ago.
I don't know. That's hard to judge. I think he would be more of a threat, though, than Romney. Yeah.
As a Democrat, do you feel in May a greater anxiety of not winning the White House than you did in the past two presidential elections?
No.
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 If you do still feel confident that it will be Clinton
yeah.
in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, when it was a Republican, I mean, Ronald Reagan won 49 states. And when that was going on, and everybody was saying, we need a good Democrat to run for office, you were in politics then. What were you feeling when the country was seemingly siding Republican?
Well, I just kept hoping we'd get the Democrats back in office. I've always felt the more that I realize how everything is, the things that they stand for, they're just not what I stand for.
Why do Republicans, like I say, in 84, Reagan won 49 states. Bush and Dukakis, he did win pretty well, but not 49 states. Lost to Clinton. Clinton won pretty good over Dole. Bush and Gore, number one, you know, draw your own conclusions on how close that was.
Yeah.
And Bush and Kerry was even decided by one state.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it hard for Republicans to win elections now when 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they were winning 49 states?
Well, I think it's the way they've conducted their party. in the last few years, I think, has lost a lot of support.
Is this the party of Ronald Reagan?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I never knew what the party of Ronald Reagan was.
Seeing that there has been a change, what do you think the change has been?
The change has been, well, let's talk about the Tea Party. That was the biggest change. That has practically ruined the Republican Party. And if you want to take anywhere where it's gone south, it's the Tea Party.
Where are they in this election?
I don't know, but they're there.
Do you think they're Trump people?
They very well could be, because it would make sense to me that they would be.
That being said, there is a lot of talk about third-party candidacy. If I was running the Republican Party, I don't quite understand that, because it's very clear that they want to run a conservative because they don't believe Donald Trump is one.
But they can't get anybody to run.
They can't. Well, I think because in the end result, they know they're going to split the vote.
Yeah, they're splitting it, and then Hillary's going to walk right in.
I don't know what they're doing over there.
Right. They had Ralph Nader on yesterday. And, you know, if he hadn't been in the race back when Al Gore was running, Al Gore would be in the White House, or would have been in the White House. And you got, you know, they keep talking about Ross Perot and all these comparisons. But then they don't come up with any, they can't get anybody to agree to run, because I think people are smart enough to know what's going to happen.
Interest in that Al Gore election, if he had won his home state, if he had won New Hampshire, it wasn't
right.
Even swing states.
Right, I know. He didn't go back home enough. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was the election where you left office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that, not winning his home state? That's different.
Well, it's kind of bad when you don't win your home state.
What do you think happened with him?
Well, I don't think he went back home enough. That was exactly it. They can get turned against you pretty quick if you're not around, you know.
I remember those debates, Bush and Gore. Mm-hmm. And they came down hard on Gore for treating Bush kind of like a dummy, mm-hmm. talking down to him.
Mm-hmm.
Does Hillary have to be cognizant of that with Trump?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've got to be very, very careful how you approach any question. You've just got to be very, very careful. But she has the knowledge. She's done it so much. And all of her experience. I have a lot of faith in how she's going to be able to conduct herself.
And it very well could happen. It'll be an interesting 6 months, that's for sure. The Republican convention, obviously, now we think is going to be a lot calmer now that
I don't think it's going to be very calm.
You don't think?
Mm-mm, no.
How do you see that breaking down?
Well, first of all, Cleveland is a Democratic city. It's just not going to be very calm. Scott, take my word for it.
Our own governor, Kasich, was interviewed by Anderson Cooper earlier on this week, and he said he's not ready to endorse Trump because of his wife and daughters.
Right. Well, that's a good statement.
Has there ever been an election where the party disliked the nominee so much?
I suppose there has, but not in our lifetime.
But it doesn't seem to hurt him in some odd way.
Well, no, it doesn't seem to. He is a very strong individual. He's got a lot of confidence in himself. And anybody running for office has to have that, because if you don't, you're not going to last long. I think that's what happened to Jeb Bush. He didn't have enough confidence in himself. And you know, it takes a special thing about your makeup to stand all that they go through. They go through a terrible, terrible bunch of criticism. It would be awful.
I want to spend the last 6.5 minutes talking about something that I didn't see a whole lot of reporting on yesterday, but it's a big story to the people of the United States. Starting in December, the time and a half laws are going to be changed. Right now, as it are, if you are a white-collar manager or something of that nature and you're scheduled 40 hours a week, if you make over, it's, where's the number here, over $23,000, almost $23,660, that's only $455 a week. They do not have to pay you overtime, even if you do work overtime. But starting in December, under the Obama administration, it's one of the things they passed Wednesday, that's jumping. You now would have to have a yearly salary of $47,476. That's $913 a week, not to pay you time and a half for time worked over 40 hours a week. And it's also, there's a stipulation in there for inflation that by 2020, it will be up to $51,000 a year. Why do you think a story like that doesn't get a whole lot of press? And that's an important story.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It would be probably very interesting to see how people that run their businesses, they probably wouldn't let their people have overtime, you know.
Which beckons the question, is this going to be a good or bad thing?
I don't know, yeah.
Do you think that was a low number, 23,000, to not get overtime?
Right, yeah, yeah.
If nothing else, I guess if they want to work you overtime, they at least have to get you up to close to $50,000 a year to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And in these times, what do you think happens in a situation like that with the government where that laid dormant for 14 years?
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's just the other side of the minimum wage debate. You know, that's all over the map.
Do you like that minimum wage debate?
I don't know. I really can't say that I think that anybody that works 8 hours a day ought to make enough so that they don't have to be on food stamps. I really feel that, you know.
If you increase the minimum wage, though, does that cause the cost of everything to go up?
Well, it could, yeah. You never know.
Why is that such a tough balance? It always is. It's
mm-hmm.
You know, if you raise the money, then the food goes up, so you don't make mm-hmm. much of a profit anyway. Is there any way to keep inflation down? Is there any great economist out there who can figure this one out?
Well, there probably is, because there's some pretty smart people out there.
What do you think, aside from this election, is important for people to know in the news right now? Is there a story out there? There are so many of them. This is one of them. Certainly we're talking a lot about North Carolina's restrooms. Certainly we're talking about the Supreme Court. What do you think's a good, important story that maybe should be, is not getting the attention because of the election?
Well, like I said, the debates, they should, both candidates should be more clear about how they're going to do certain things. I don't think either one has been clear enough about it. And I would like to hear specifically how they're going to not have debt after they're in college. Okay, how's that going to happen? I mean, do you know the answer to that, Scott?
The only answer I've heard directly or indirectly from Bernie Sanders is that raising taxes on the rich will somehow do that, and getting rid of offshore accounts.
Right. And how's that going to happen? I mean, is he going to have a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House? We don't know that. How can he say that's what he's for when you don't know if he can do it or not?
Trump released his Supreme Court picks.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to kind of please...
I thought they said that he took them from the Heritage Foundation.
I think he might have.
Yeah.
It seemed to please some of the Republicans, who are iffy about Trump. If he does get in, which is a possibility, because this now even means so much more with the Supreme Court, if you put a really conservative justice in there, could this be the end of Obamacare, Roe versus Wade?
Very well could be, yeah.
Could this be a whole different country?
Yeah, it could be.
Does that make this election all that more important?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can remember talking about that back in the past races when I was involved in speaking about who was going to win. It was the Supreme Court is so important to a country and what decision they make.
It's the Roe v. Wade is particularly interesting because that happened in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Why all of a sudden, we're supposed to be, I guess, more progressive with time as a nation.
We're not.
Why aren't they?
They're still trying. I mean, the Republican Party is still trying to get rid of it. If they had the chance, they'd get rid of it in a minute.
Why? You know, when Roosevelt was president, they campaigned against Social Security. The Republicans, in general, did not like LBJ's Medicare, Medicaid, school lunch program,
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, you would not have a Republican campaigning on getting rid of Social Security or getting rid of Medicaid, Medicare, any of that.
Because it's a good way to lose an election, yes.
But Roe v. Wade's always on the table. What keeps that on the table 45 years later?
Well, every chance that they would get to do something to that, they'll do it.
Is that an evangelical issue? Is that why it stays on the table?
I think that probably has something to do with it. You know, it's that strict belief that they have. I think they're fairly strict.
Final question for and this has been a fun visit, but do you believe as a Democrat that some people are single-issue voters?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
When it comes to something like abortion, it is an evangelical issue. It certainly is. I don't think there's. I don't know of any church that is pro-choice in their charter. That being said, do you think some people in those churches, and not a blanket statement, but vote strictly on that issue, and that is, as much as Latinos are for the Republican Party, that's always going to be an issue for the Democratic Party?
Well, to say always, I don't know that I could say always on that, but I keep thinking about the gun issue. Somebody's going to vote a certain way because of the gun issue, and somebody's going to vote a certain way because of the economy. I mean, everybody's got their thing that they feel strongly about, and that's what's going to probably affect how they vote.
Interestingly enough, and to wrap this up, we had a gentleman on this program probably about 2 months ago now who started out by saying they were a Huckabee person. He left the race fairly early. Then they said they're a Cruz person. Now, they're a Cruz person only because they're anti-Trump. That person stopped by for a visit last Friday, and I said, "Where are you now?" And they said, "I'm with Trump." How does that dare? I mean, you're not them, but that has happened for some people. Is it just a strict, I don't want to vote for Hillary? Because in this election, I'm hearing that more than I'm hearing Democrat. It's not, I don't want to vote Democrat. It's just, her name is there. I don't want to vote for Hillary.
That's too bad.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Because
right.
There are people who feel the other way, too.
Yes.
There's a Never Trump movement out there, too. So it goes both ways. Mary Ellen, it's always a delight.
Yes, it is.
And who knows what will happen by the third week in June.
We'll be talking about something entirely different probably in June.
Absolutely. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States and a treasure to be around. Stay tuned. Scott Spears heading for the dugout on this day, but much more programming coming up.
7.1 FM. Marion, Ohio.
This is George.